I suspect that the Apostle Peter may not be the only one troubled by Jesus's unreasonable expectation that we should be ready to forgive those who hurt us time and time and time again. I would not be surprised if there were more than a few sitting here this evening who find Jesus's command immoderate, if not outrageous. There is, after all, a dangerous side to this teaching about forgiving an endless number of times. What happens, for instance, when because of the depth of the hurt we've experienced, we are not yet able to forgive? Or what happens when our offer to forgive someone is not met with repentance and restitution on their part? Or what about those cases, domestic violence, for instance, where endless forgiveness actually fuels the cycle of abuse rather than bringing peace and reconciliation? St. Peter was correct, I think, to challenge Jesus. The process of forgiveness and reconciliation is complex and cannot simply be reduced to formulas like, I tell you not 7 times, but 77 times. Today's gospel is a continuation of last week's, where Jesus first lays out a procedure for reestablishing peace when disagreements erupt within the Christian family. First, Jesus encourages the offended person to move beyond the one-on-one confrontation and to seek help through the mediation of others. And then, if there is still no resolution, Jesus counsels bringing the disagreement before the entire Christian community. It is in response to that procedure laid out by Jesus that Peter poses today's question. But Lord, how often must I be ready to forgive the brother or sister who sins against me? We don't know many facts about Peter's life, but we do know that he was married. Therefore, he at least had a spouse and in-laws, and probably children as well. The gospel also informs us that Peter was not an entrepreneurial lone wolf, but that he had business partners in his fishing activity. In other words, Peter knew firsthand that in an ordinary life, there are endless occasions for misunderstandings and disagreements, some major, some minor. And he rightly recognized the difficulties in resolving those discords. That's why he seemed so ill at ease with Jesus' expectation that a disciple should place no limit on the number of times he or she is willing to forgive. Nevertheless, there's no getting around it. Jesus says quite clearly that anyone who wishes to follow him in discipleship must at least be willing to grapple with the difficult work of repairing relationships and reconciling with those who have offended us. In the parable about the servant who is forgiven a great debt, Jesus shifts the emphasis away from the difficulty of reconciliation and instead calls our attention to the utter gratuity of forgiveness. It is pure gift. It cannot be earned by the person who is forgiven. The king in the story is moved with heartfelt compassion for the servant and forgives him the entire debt. The only way to respond adequately is to pay the gift forward. In other words, even though the servant can never repay the king, he can act in the same forgiving manner to anyone who is in debt to him. But as the second act of the parable unfolds, we find the servant doing just the opposite. Whereas the king's heart melted with compassion at the servant's predicament, the servant's heart was frozen in unforgiveness, and the consequences for him were tragic. That, I think, is the stark warning that the parable presents to us. It reminds us of the danger of allowing our hearts to become paralyzed in unforgiveness, because it has the potential to hurt us more than it hurts the offender. A heart hardened in revenge perpetuates the endless cycle of violence. It may be true that at this particular moment, we are not yet ready to forgive. It may be that at this moment, we are unable to forgive. However, Jesus asks that we not simply accept this inability, as understandable as it may be, as a permanent solution. Withholding forgiveness carries the danger of stunting our heart. Whereas if we try to forgive, if we pray earnestly for the power to forgive, even when we know that we are not yet able to do so, we open ourselves all the more to the experience of God's healing. And perhaps that healing will allow us to forgive that person at some point in our life. And even if it doesn't, it still prepares us for the forgiveness that will inevitably occur in the kingdom of God, where every hurt will be healed and every offense forgiven.